God has sent to us so many young men who are on fire for God. And I thank God for Daniel. I thank God for the giftings that he's placed within him and that he's placing within Stephen and Stuart. And I'm just amazed at what God can do. And it's good to hear Daniel preach the word of God. These lads are on fire for God, and today he's going to give the word of God. So let's thank God for him. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Can everyone hear me? Can everyone see me? Praise God. I've got a really bad cough, so if I cough quite a lot, please forgive me. So, it's my absolute delight to be sharing the word of God in here today. And wasn't that wonderful to hear Stephen's testimony and Stuart's testimony and of what God's been doing in their life? And that really blessed me. Stephen, when you were sharing that testimony, it really blessed me. To see you coming from where you were to where you are right now, that blessed me big time. And I just want to encourage you, keep going from strength to strength, mate. Don't look back. Don't look back. I'm going to speak into your life that you will go from strength to strength. And nothing of the past will hinder you of what God's got in future for you. Keep pressing on, mate. Keep going on. And Stuart, that really blessed me as well, mate, what you said about having that relationship with God. Everything is meaningless if we don't know God. All this ministry, our preaching and everything, all of the giftings, is just meaningless if we don't know God personally ourselves. The main thing that keeps us going is that relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that keeps us going. That's the only thing that sustains our ministry, is that relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, the title of my message is Doing Our Best in Everything. Let me say that again. Doing our best in everything. And you know, we live in a generation where we need a revelation of Jesus Christ. We've got loads and loads of information. We've got loads and loads of intellectual stuff. But what we really need in this needy generation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need the revelation of Jesus Christ. The information will help and develop the understanding of Bible and all of the stuff. But unless there's the revelation of Jesus Christ in a person's heart and in a person's life, nothing will change. Paul the Apostle, he had all the intellect. He did. He was an intelligent man. Pharisees of Pharisees. He knew it all. He had the knowledge. But until the revelation kicked in his life, nothing changed. It was on the way to Damascus where he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. And all of us, we need to have the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. And my prayer today is that as I preach, I just pray that let us not just walk away with information. Let us not just walk away with notes. Let us not just walk away saying, oh, that was a good message. Oh, that was a bad message, whatever. But let us walk away with revelation of Jesus Christ and a deep conviction within our hearts that Jesus is alive. Amen. That is my prayer today. And I'm not saying that knowledge is bad. Knowledge is important. Hear me right when I say this. Knowledge is very, very important. But if knowledge is the only thing that we're chasing, then we're in a bad place. Knowledge and revelation leads to transformation. The knowledge of the Bible and the revelation of Jesus Christ leads to a transformed life. Stephen, Stuart, all of us. Someone shared the gospel with us, and it was only words until the revelation of Jesus Christ came alive into our lives. And whenever we read the Bible, do you know it's vitally important that we know the context of the Bible. And when I say context of the Bible, I'm trying to say the authorial intention of what the author is trying to write in the Bible. And do you know the Bible is full of biblical principles that we can apply into our lives, which are very useful and which are also important for us in our daily walk. And today I'm just going to talk about a character in the Bible who, despite of the fact having things gone wrong in his life, was still standing strong, and who never left his dream, but trusted in God with everything. Who never left his dream, despite of having his world thrown upside down, was still standing strong, and still believed in the promises of God. And who wasn't willing to turn back, but who was willing to move from strength to strength. And his name is Joseph. Joseph. And as I see the character Joseph, there are many, and I'm sure as we look at the story of Joseph, there are many biblical principles that can be drawn out from his life. However, I just want to highlight three key principles which I believe was very important in Joseph's life and in our lives. Number one, he did his best in everything. Let me say that again. Joseph, point number one, he did his best in everything. If you look in the story of Joseph, it's found in Genesis 37, for those of us who's never read the chapter or who's not been familiar with the chapter, we can find the story of Joseph in Genesis 37. And as we all know, it's titled Joseph's Dream. And most of us already know the story that Joseph sees a dream that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down, and Joseph was in the middle, reigning and all that. And as we continue to look in the story, we see that Joseph ends up beginning one of the most important figures in the history of Egypt. And as we continue with the story of Joseph, it says, we begin to understand that because of this, Joseph's brother, they end up throwing him in a hole. And they end up selling him to slavery. Joseph's brothers end up selling him to slavery. One disappointment for Joseph. And after that, we see that Joseph gets sold into Potiphar's house again as one of the slaves. And as we continue with the story, it says in Genesis 39:2 that the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered in everything that he did. Let me read that again. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered in everything he did. And as we begin to read the story, we see that Joseph is in Potiphar's house. And whatever Joseph does or whatever Joseph touches prospers. Yes. The Bible tells us that the favor of God was in Joseph. And the result of that, we see Potiphar prospering as well. The household of Potiphar prospers. But what happens next? Potiphar's wife jumps to Joseph. And what happens? After that, he gets thrown in prison. Another disappointment for Joseph. Another disappointment for Joseph. And in Genesis 30, we find Joseph in prison. But the main thing that encourages me is, regardless of the fact that Joseph was in prison, he still prospered. He still prospered. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord and also in the eyes of prison warden in prison and other prisoners as well. And it says in Genesis 40, verse 14, we see that story when Joseph was in prison. We see a story of cupbearer and bread maker. And Joseph ends up interpreting their dreams and tells them what's to come. And these are the words that Joseph says to them. He says, when it all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness and mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. But what happens next? Genesis 40:23. The interpretation all gets fulfilled. And after that, it says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And I wonder how many times in our lives we feel like we've been forgotten. How many times in our lives that where we try to do something where we don't get noticed. When we do our best and we don't get noticed. And the challenging element for us in the life of Joseph was in all his struggles, we never see one reference of him complaining to God or moaning to God or getting angry at God. Regardless of having his world turned upside down, and regardless of wherever he does and whatever he, wherever he ends up in, it all turns to disappointment. We never see Joseph one time complaining to God or moaning to God saying things aren't going well. And whenever I read this key scripture in the story of Joseph, that everything he did prospered, that tells me something. Every time I read this, I see the favor of God was with Joseph. That tells me something. I want to suggest that wherever Joseph was, he done his best. Whilst he was in Potiphar's house, he served his best. Whilst he was in Potiphar's house, he done his best to lift up Potiphar. While he was in prison, he done his best to serve and be a good prisoner. Whatever that may sound like. But he did his best. He did his best. And when we do our best, the favor of God follows us. When we've got that heart where we say to ourselves, do you know what? Regardless of my world falling upside down, regardless of wherever I am, I'm going to do my best to serve God, and I'm going to do my best to bring the best in wherever I'm serving. Things start changing. Doesn't matter. It's not related to job description or job title or anything. Joseph was a prisoner, but he served his best. Joseph was a slave, but he served his best. You don't have to be a minister to do your best. You could be anything. Working in McDonald's, I don't know. McDonald's, go there, do your best. Wherever we are, but let's make that heart where we're telling ourselves and we're challenging ourselves, saying that, you know what, wherever I stand, wherever I work, wherever I serve, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to bring my best to God. Joseph did his best. Let us all do our best as well. My point number two is he forgave who wronged him. He forgave who wronged him. Joseph gets sold into slavery by his own brothers. Can you imagine that? Your brother selling you out. Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. Can you imagine that? The cupbearer forgets about him. You do your best at something and you don't get the results of it, and you get forgotten about. And after becoming the man in charge of Egypt, after Pharaoh, as you know the story, that Joseph gets lifted up and ends up becoming in charge of all Egypt. After becoming that, can I just say that he had the opportunity to take revenge. He did. He had the opportunity of taking revenge. But what does he do? He chooses to forgive those who wronged him. And that's the biggest act in the Bible as well. Forgiveness and love. Love forgives. And when you show forgiveness, that's an act of love as well. Example, I just want to give an example. Over there, I was doing gardening in Helen's house. And I was picking all them weeds out. And I realized that some of the weeds, it had really deep roots. So whilst I was trying to pull it out, it was a real struggle to pull it out. And isn't that true for our lives as well? When we hold on to that unforgiveness in our lives, what does that do? The root spreads all over our body. And the roots of unforgiveness is bitterness. We end up becoming bitter about that person. Or we end up becoming bitter about certain stuff. And Jesus is the biggest encouragement of all. Do you know what challenges me? Even to the point of death on a cross, his final words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Wow. And I want to encourage and challenge each one of us that let's make that attitude. That when someone wrongs us or does wrong to us, it's hard. But let us just make that our challenge today, that we will choose to forgive those who wronged us. Joseph forgave. Jesus forgave. David forgave Saul. Let us forgive each other. My third point. He was holding on to the dream and the promises of God in his life. Looking at the story of Joseph, you know, he was a man who should have given up long time ago when he got thrown into that dungeon. I just give up. Can't be bothered with this anymore. When he was in Potiphar's house, look at me, God. What was that dream all about? He promised me that I was going to be some ruler, but look at me now. I'm a slave. Forget that. I'm just moving out. When he was in prison, accused of rape. He was sentenced for a rape charge. Think about that. God, I can't be bothered with this. I'm just going. Can't be bothered with this anymore. But regardless of everything, he chose to stand on the promises of God. And he chose to believe the dream that God gave him. He chose to believe the dream that God gave him. And you know, Genesis 37, he gets the dream. And the dream gets fulfilled in Genesis 41 when he becomes in charge of Egypt. And you know, there's that gap in middle. And can I just say, that gap in middle is the most important part, was the most important part in Joseph's life. And even us, God has given us a promise. But where we're standing, we can't see that promise getting fulfilled or being fulfilled. But can I just encourage each one of us? Stand where you are and go from strength to strength. And when you go from strength to strength, you begin to develop within that gap. And you begin to encourage yourself. And you begin to get strength in that gap. And what matters the most is that gap from your starting point to your destination. Hold on to God. Never let go of God. Hold on to God. Hold on to the promises of God. Regardless of all the ups and downs in his life, he stood on the promises of God. And he chose not to be shaken by his surroundings or by his circumstances. But he was standing strong on the promises of God. And who's willing to stand on the promise of God today? Who is willing to stand on what God has given us? And most of the time, we so much focus on the negatives in our lives that we forget about the positives in our life. Most of the time, we so much focus on the things that's not happening in our life that we forget about the thing that God's already done in our lives. Let us choose to stand on what we believe, and let us choose to stand on what God has done for us, rather than always dwelling on the negative stuff and always dwelling on the fact that God's not doing stuff in our lives. Look to the bright side. Hey, look to the bright side. God is so much bigger. God is so much bigger. And God is so much better. God is God. Regardless of the fact we might like it or not, God is God. And can I just encourage all the young people in here, whatever dreams that you might have, actually every one of us, whatever dream that you might have, whatever dream that I might have, don't let go of your dream. Hold on to that dream, because God fulfills your dream. God does fulfill your dream. And when you stand strong on the promises of God, you will be strong. He was holding on to the dream and the promises of God in his life. And what Grace was sharing earlier, that scripture, it's in Genesis 50 verse 20, it says, "You intended," these are the words of Joseph to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Can I just encourage you, Stephen? Whatever happened to you in the past, can I just say that God's going to use that? What the enemy intended for bad, to harm you, God's going to use that and bring many souls to kingdom. And he's going to use you to reach out to many people out there. He is. And I just want to encourage each one of us, pursue your dreams. Go for it. The word of the Lord won't return void. The word of the Lord won't return void. The three things I want to leave us with. Number one, let's do our best. Let's do our best in everything. Number two, let us forgive people who wronged us. Number three, let us hold on to the promises of God in our lives. Let us hold on to the promises of God in our lives. Let us pray. Jesus, we just come before you, Lord, and we just thank you for this day, Lord. We just, as we prayed in the beginning, Lord, we just don't want this message to just be an information message, Lord. But I just pray, Lord, that everything I've just shared, Lord, it will just impact our lives, Lord. And it will just bring that revelation of who you are, Lord. And God, I just pray that as we, Lord, stand strong in the promises that you've given us, Lord, I just pray that you give us grace to do our best in everything, Lord. That you give us grace, Lord, to forgive those who wronged us, Lord. And you just give us grace, Lord, to hold on to promises of yours in our life. And God, I just pray, Lord, as we continue our journey together, Lord, I just pray that you help us to move from strength to strength. That you help us to be an overcomer. That you help us to be more than conquerors, Lord. So that you help us to be what you've intended us to be, Lord. And most of all, Lord, I just pray that in everything that we do, Lord, help us to make you the center of it all. So, Lord, today we just pray. We give our lives to you, Lord, saying, God, teach us your way. Have your way within us. And let your name be glorified in this place, in this church, in Intake, in Doncaster, and in this nation, Lord, and all over the nation, Lord. That your name be praised. That in your name, Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord.